A great evil has descended upon us. Our only hope is for our two factions to join forces.
F*** that! We do not team up with f***ing elves.
Join forces, my paladin ass! Only good elf is a dead elf.
Why don't you suck my elven dick, Buttis?
Enough!
Even if we join forces, we don't have enough warriors.
So we recruit more factions to join us. The pirates, the Federation, and the girls.
The girls?
Kyle, the girls are not gonna f***ing play with us. Yeah, dude, we can't convince girls to do this.
No, but maybe the new kid can.
Welcome back, everyone, to Ladies of Lead. This is episode 108, and this is the podcast where we talk all things video games. I'm Nicole.
Girls, ew. I'm Kim.
I'm Stephanie. I can barely keep it in.
And we are all girls, and we're playing
we
video games.
We are girls.
And this week, if you're not already familiar with South Park, we're talking about South Park Stick or Truth. Wolf Among Us, whatever. Outlast. We have some iOS games, a little bit of news, lots of email, in fact. And we have returned from Nerdtacular.
Yay!
Yay! I just had so much fun. Did you guys have fun?
But don't you always have that like letdown after Nerdtacular? I was driving home and I'm like,
yeah. Exactly. Well, you had a long drive, too.
Oy, oy.
Yeah, but it was nice. I stopped in Albuquerque at a resort, so it wasn't
very nice.
Too bad. You know, you can't really complain.
And you were working the doghouse booth and gave away an awesome computer.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
It was. It was so much fun this year. And it was different with the panels than it was last year. I really liked that. And I think
did
people
you?
Really Yay. Liked it too. Yeah, you guys did a great job with it.
It wasn't just me. It was Steven Schleicher from MajorSpoilers.com and myself. We were in charge of he was in charge of the comics track, and I was in charge of the podcasting track. And then Tom Merritt of Daily Tech News kind of wrangled us in and said, okay, oversee it.
Right.
So it was a lot of fun. And I was so glad we were able to do our show live. And I looked up at one point and I was like, whoa, where did everybody come from?
Kind of freaks you out, huh? That's like us at Dragon Con last year. All of a sudden the room started filling up and there's like people standing in the back. You're like, my God, there's standing room only in this room. This is a little freaky, people.
Right? Is it that much of a novelty, women playing games? I don't know.
And actually talking about it.
Yeah.
We're like the hidden secret. Yeah. Just you do it, don't tell.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we talked about during Nerdtacular, we did talk a bit about the South Park game. We all picked up South Park. Unfortunately, I hadn't played it yet, and you guys had started playing it. And so when I got back, I start playing it, and wow. I really am having fun.
Were you shocked
by
the rudeness?
Yeah. I mean, there's been a few times where I've opened doors. I'm like, what? What? Wait.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with this.
Yes.
If you're not familiar with South Park, I mean, South Park on TV, this game makes South Park on TV look so tame. Mm. It's amazing how
because
tame.
Because they've taken all of the shocking elements from the show and they slapped it all into one game.
Yeah.
They said, yeah.
Well, and they didn't censor it. No censoring. You know. I mean, it's just all out there. And there's times where I'm speechless. And then I feel like a horrible person because I'm laughing.
Well, but nobody knows you're laughing. Well, now they know because you've told them. But well, have you gone to the bathroom yet?
That was the first thing I did.
Right?
Of course, I have to. I mean, there's a toilet and I can sit on the toilet and go poop. Yes.
And then you can pick it up.
Yeah, and then you use it in battle. I'd like the battling system. Never done that. I really like the battling system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that too. I thought that was fun. Did it remind you of Mario and Luigi?
No, it reminds me of Final Fantasy.
See, I've never played anything.
I've never played Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it's all turn-based. So you hit an enemy, or in Final Fantasy, you just walk around and then it scares you when you go into battle. You're like, oh gosh. Mm-hmm. Whereas this, you actively, and that happened later on in the Final Fantasy series, where you could actively avoid an enemy. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the earlier ones, you couldn't avoid it. It was just like you walk and you're like, I don't know if invisible monsters here. Whereas this one, the kids are, you know, you're fighting against the elves and they're standing over to the side. So you can actively hit them with your arrow and mm-hmm. daze them. So you can have that buff on them before you go and hit them with your stick. And then that engages the battle system, which is all turn based. And yeah, I totally thought of Final Fantasy. I love it.
There are a lot of battles that come later where it behooves you to look at the environment, because mm-hmm. you can take out a lot of the enemies without mm-hmm. fighting them by triggering things in the environment, like shooting something that's hanging from the ceiling or dropping something on them or electrocuting them by having something fall into the water. Like, you can do a lot of that later
farting.
On in the game.
Or farting. The farting. Yeah, I just learned how to fart.
Well, you'll get to the point where you can fart, like if there's a fire, you can fart on the fire and the fire kills them. Yeah. Which is so funny.
I mean, the funny thing is this is not a kid's game at all. I mean, it's cartoon, but it's not a kid's game. I'm warning you, parents.
Not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit.
From that opening thing should have told you it is not for kids.
Yes.
despite the fact there are little kid characters in it.
Yeah, and I'm playing it on the PC with my Xbox controller, and it's great. And it took me a while to learn. Did it take you a while to learn how to fart?
Yes, it did.
That's so weird.
Yeah, that was a little bit hard, because you have to time it just right, and you've got to get the frequency of your fart just right. Yeah. That's it's just so weird. The name of our show, fart frequency.
it's so funny to me that this game, because I'm really enjoying the mechanics of it and just kind of the gameplay, is wrapped around the most crudest, ridiculous game possible. And it's funny. It's ridiculous. And I'm having a great time with it.
You should go ahead and just play that second clip that I sent, because that'll give you a nice little treat of butters.
Yeah, that's funny. I'd check my drawers if I was you. You draw mud on that one? How did your ass learn such incredible magic so easily? Dang it, Omanky. Maybe you should see a doctor. That one sounded like it hurt.
Are you farting on
the... Hey, where's Whistle Bitches?
You're trying to go to the bathroom, right?
Oh my god, I feel like a 13-year-old boy playing this game.
It's awesome.
You know, I really do, because I'm laughing at it all the time.
Yeah. Oh my
god! I summoned like everyone that I could, and I was farting on them, but Butters was by hands down the best. He was the best one. Best reactions.
Yeah, I just... Because when you first start playing, you get Butters as one of your party members. I just got Kenny in my party. Princess Kenny.
Princess Kenny. Yes. So
and I love the little side quests. So like there's a main storyline, but of course you can do side quests like helping Al Gore and
the big game hunter hunter.
I killed a dog.
What?
The dog. No. You put there's like a green sausage that you put out, and this dog comes out and you battle the dog and
Lots of rats.
Done that one yet.
Yeah, when you go down into the sewers, lots of rats.
He's right where you the coffee package. Yeah. He's
Tweaks coffee.
Yeah, Tweaks coffee, and then you kill the homeless person or run him off or what? I don't know what you're doing with the homeless. The mayor wants you to get the homeless. She wants to get all the homeless people out. It's so ridiculous. I can't believe that we're talking in. Like, seriously about this game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, later on, your big opponent, zombie Nazis.
Nice.
Yep. Zombie Nazis. Fight later on.
our friend Terpster, who's been on the show, did a playthrough of this game. So if you really have no interest in playing, you should at least
just want to see it.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes to Terpster's playthrough. So it's really funny. It's ridiculous. And yeah, I'm not upset that I spent $40 on this game.
Mm, yeah,
I'm not either. And I thought I would be, but now I'm like, okay, I've gotten so much enjoyment out of this stupid little game.
Yep.
And it is stupid. No matter what, it is stupid.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's awesome. So yeah, it's a thumbs up for me. I had no idea what I was going. Well, actually I had an idea, but I don't know. I guess I didn't.
Yeah. You have a general idea. You don't know how bad it's going to go.
Right. Right. Like I said, some of those doors you open, you cannot unsee what you see.
Yeah.
Well, they come and close the door because you're interrupting them, you know? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you're interrupting them.
The least they could do. All right. So we all played, and I'm assuming finished, the final episode of The Wolf Among Us.
Right.
Yes. Yep. It came out a couple days ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I sat down and finished it in one shot. I don't know about you.
Of course.
Okay, I finished it twice in one shot because there were so many options that I wanted to go back and do other ones. So that was kind of what I did at work today.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
Nice, and right?
Did it change your opinion seeing the different endings?
There was really not a different ending, which I was pretty disappointed about this. And I wasn't really impressed with the ending. I guess, well, it was okay, but I was like, God, it feels like it should have been more epic.
So,
right.
Ending, we're going to have a spoiler zone after this episode is over. So if you finished and played The Wolf Among Us, we'll talk about it at the end, because at the very, very end, I was like, wait, what? I don't understand what just happened. So I had to do a little bit of digging, and I figured, and then that helped me kind of go, oh, okay. So
But even then,
you can explain to us.
Yes.
Yeah. Even then, I still think a lot of people's theories are wrong. I think they're just guessing.
Yeah.
So, but in the end, we'll all I'm left with is, well, there's got to be a season two.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There has to be a season two. I mean, way too many things that were left up in the air.
Yeah. And I read a very interesting review of this game on Steam. And the guy or girl didn't recommend it, but they wrote a book about it. And they clearly enjoyed the game.
Mm-hmm.
But what they didn't enjoy was the fact that the way they explained it was really interesting. And I have to agree with them. But I love that world so much that I will take it anywhere I can get it. So if I need to continue the story in that world in the comic, I will. But mm-hmm. what they were saying was, you have this amazing story and you're really into it and you're invested. And then it ends and you just feel empty. And they say, oh, you can continue on in the books. And they were really frustrated with that, because it's like, I'm watching a movie and now you're telling me to finish it in a book.
Right.
So they were, and I kind of agree, I guess, because I read the books first and I'm going backwards. Mm-hmm. I don't feel, it doesn't feel bad to me, because I already have that world in my head of Fable Town and the fables.
Well, I kind of did it halfway, right? So I started the game, then read the books, and obviously finished the game. So my theory, the thing that I'm going in is, obviously this was a prequel. So the situation that they've set up in this game is not addressed in the books at all. So if you're looking for some sort of resolution on these characters, you're not going to get it by reading the book.
Right.
You're not going to get more information on TJ and his dad. You're not going to get more information on Bloody Mary. You're not going to get more information on the Crooked Man or, you know, what this whole glamour setup was. You're not going to get any of that. So that was the resolution I was looking for.
You get some side things with them, but nothing like direct like this, like focused on them. Right. And that's why I think you're right. I think they're going to have a season two. I think this was a huge success for them.
Right.
And I look forward. Seriously, I don't think I've ever played a Telltale game the minute the episodes come out.
No, right. Usually you're like watching it download. I forget about it.
Yeah. I'll pick up the first couple episodes, but then I forget about it. And I just, you know, I get doing other stuff. But this one, I was hungry for every single episode.
Mm-hmm. Me too. And I didn't dislike the ending. It just, I wanted more.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I wanted more. And this episode seemed really, really short.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed really short. My second playthrough was like an hour. Mm-hmm. I made it through in like an hour on it.
Me too.
So the first one was probably a little longer because I did everything, but the second one was only like an hour. So I'm not sure if it was actually shorter or it just felt that way. I'm not sure.
Tundra Grossa in the chat room's asking, did they leave major loose ends? And I would say, I don't know.
I think so.
I don't think they left major.
No, well, because I mean,
spoilers, but
yeah, we'll talk about
it. But no, spoilers. I don't think so. I don't. Well, because I haven't read any of the books. And so, but it wrapped up things pretty nicely for me. I mean, I don't feel like I've got anything hanging out there that I'm like, hey, well, what about that? You know, I mean, things just happen that you just never find out about. So that's kind of my thought on it.
Yeah. I just, the game was on sale during the middle of the week as well on Steam. And I was like, buy it. It was 50% off. I'm like, get it now.
Right. Now.
So hopefully if you haven't had a chance to play it, hopefully all three of us have convinced you.
Yeah, seriously.
Because it's now on iPad as well. It came out a couple days on the iPad. Yep. So, and our good friend Eric Van Skyhawk says that it's the superior version. I don't care. For me, I don't. It could be on the NES and I'd still play it. I don't care. I mean, this is the kind of game that I don't care where it's at. I would play it. And I just so happened to have a copy of it on my PC, and that's where I stayed with it. So
it's on the Sega Game Gear.
I know, right? Dreamcast. We're bringing it back. And Kim, you were playing Outlast.
Oh my God, this game! This is the most effed up game ever.
It's scary, isn't it?
So it's it's very scary,
Stephanie. Oh yeah.
No, it's because it falls out of that category for me.
Oh,
it
really?
Stops being scary. It stops being scary and it just falls into gory.
Oh my God. Well, it's still scary, but it's gory, gory, gory as well. But the funny thing is, so we're playing it here at work. There's three of us who are like playing the same game, and I'll be sitting in my office and the guys will come in. They're like, come here. You got to see this part of it. So I go and, you know, some guy's like doing nasty stuff over bodies. And I'm like, oh my God, what is he doing? Yeah. I mean, it's just disgusting. But for somehow, I don't know how this worked out. We played the DLC first.
Hmm. Oh.
So there's a DLC called Outlast. Outlast.
I think I know what you're talking about.
I can't remember what it's called here, but there's a DLC that comes after it. So basically the DLC is the prequel and like the ending after what happens on it. So it was like weird. So we played that first and it was confusing. So I'm like, well, that doesn't match what the Wikipedia says that it should be, you know? So I was like, okay, this is weird. And then we finished the game and it ended up, we were now playing the Reporter, the original game. Like, how did
that
happen?
Which is what I played. Yeah. I played
the
Reporter.
So we played the IT guy first and then we played the Reporter.
So is it first person? Is it third person? Is it top down? What is it?
It's a first person narrative. Okay. So, you know, there's no melee, there's no combat, nothing like that. You're just trying to escape.
Oh, that's right. Stephanie, you run away.
It's like the hospital.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the runaway game. Okay.
Yeah, and you've got the camera and it's got the night vision on the camera, and then you have to get batteries because the battery's so low.
It's the worst scenario ever, right? So in the original, it's, hey, I'm a reporter and I'm going to break into this asylum that has this mysterious history, whatever. And then he breaks in with what exactly? Just a camera. Not even a cell phone, just a camera. and no extra batteries. It has like the worst battery life ever. So
it does.
There's no lights. So you're constantly having to use the night vision, which of course immediately puts you into what's behind me mode. Here's where I just kind of noped out of the game, right? Besides the fact that you can't fight, you just run away, is I'm breaking into what I presume to be an empty building. The first time I see a dude sitting in a chair who's not dead and is completely catatonic, I should have turned around and left. But I didn't. I just kept on like a moron breaking in to where decapitated things are flying at me every time I open a door. And then I was kind of like, well, this is stupid. And then I stopped the game. I stopped.
This is not realistic.
I was not interested in seeing any more at all. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So this game has the worst torture scenes in it.
It kind of reminds me.
Oh my God, they are horrible.
It sounds like they're taking a page from Saw. I mean,
yeah,
when that movie came out, it seemed like all horror movies had to do this shock value. Yeah.
This torture porn, which is what it is, right? They try and worst things you can think of to do to a human body, and then they're going to do it.
That's exactly what it is. And so some of these scenes were just unbelievable. And you're just cringing. And I took screenshots of so many things, but they're nothing I can share because they're so gory or they're so perverted or they're so pornographic. You just can't share them. And it's like this entire game was just a shock and scary because the music is very scary. The guys that are coming at after you, they're scary. Everything is just either scary or horrific in this game. But we finished the whole thing. We played it at work because I can do that. But it is not a kid's game.
No. You need your head examined if you let your kids play this game. There's something wrong with you.
Oh my God. I don't know. I would not have played this game if the guys at work weren't playing it along with me, because those guys, you know, they're the ones who like really pushed me through it at points. So I'm like, oh no, I got to stop. And they're like, okay, we'll do it. And then they'd come here. You got to come see this part. And I'm just like, oh my God.
No, I can't sleep at night.
If you want to see something funny, Conan O'Brien in his Clueless Gamer thing, they did a Halloween episode where they did scary games and they did this game Outlast and along with Slenderman, which he was like me, like not impressed with Slenderman, but he was freaked out by this game Outlast. So there are some things that they can show and they did show. So if you want to see it, look up Clueless Gamer on YouTube.
We'll add it to the show notes, too.
Yeah, to the Outlast. And you can see him react to some of the horrible things, like the doctor, like flaying people alive and chasing after you and stuff like that.
There's not many things they can actually show, because this game, there is around every single corner, there's some horrific things. Heads laying out. Heads that have been stitched inside a lady's body.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. It's blah.
It makes me long for the days of Freddy Krueger.
When you could do horror without,
taking an anatomy lesson.
I didn't really need to see that.
I remember being a kid and my parents were watching Friday the 13th, the first one. Mm-hmm. And, okay, spoiler. At the very end, Jason jumps out of the lake. And he just jumps out of the lake.
Right.
It scared the crap out of us.
Yeah. I remember that.
Remember the end of Carrie? Remember the end of Carrie when the girl's at her grave?
Yeah, yeah.
And the arm comes out of the thing? Yeah, that was super scary, but not disgusting gory.
Yeah, I guess there's all types now. The 80s horror movies are what I prefer, I guess.
Right.
What were you going to say, Kim?
Salem's Lot was the same way.
Oh, yeah, Salem's Lot.
Remember the little guy at the window, the blue guy floating at the window? That scared the crap out of me. And I had a sliding glass door in my bedroom.
Oh, God.
I always imagine that kid floating outside my door because it was pitch black outside because we lived out in the country and stuff, you know, so pitch black.
Oh man.
Yeah, those are scary.
Even just talking about it makes me want to just go play South Park again and forget about what we just talked about.
It's all bright colors and sunshine and
farting. Seriously, this is an effed up game. It is totally a bad, horrible, horrible game that I continue to play.
Yeah.
I need to play.
All right. Well, let's move into some of our iPhone games that we've been playing. We have Monument Valley. This name, is this something we've talked about before or is this new?
This is new.
Okay.
So I picked it up because, well, it looks beautiful and it has a very Journey feel to it, particularly in the artwork. But what's truly mind-blowing for me is the actual gameplay. So the idea is that you're on these paths and you have to get your person from one point to another. Mm-hmm. And it has a very Escher-like feel where you think you're going straight and then you rotate a piece and then you're going vertical or you're going to the side or it's twisting around to the side. Like you're actually rotating the whole entire structure at some point. And it's very simplistic and it has a very soft soundtrack. You know, where you're actually moving pieces, a little piece of music will play. And I'm really, really enjoying it. You know, the puzzles.
You know
are
what?
Very
so
cool.
Have Brian you ever Dunaway played The Bridge?
No.
Yeah. See, this is Brian Dunaway on Final Score.
Yeah.
That's why I was thinking, I'm like, I know I've heard about this game.
Yes.
So, yeah. I agree. The Bridge.
It's a lot
is
like
very,
The Bridge, mm-hmm. except for I think this one has better physics to it than The Bridge does. The Bridge was all about rotating stuff and, and that. This is actually more puzzle-like where you can rotate items or move items within it, whereas the Bridge wasn't as much of that. It was more rotating.
Yeah. I'm looking at it. It's on sale right now, 50% off, so $1.99. And, very whimsical kind of artwork, right?
I highly recommend it. Yeah, it's very, cool. very
And it's got a soothing. Little girl.
Yes. Her name is Ida, I-D-A. And each chapter kind of tells a story where it says like, and here she meets, an obstacle, or here she learns about redemption, like that sort of thing. And when she gets to the end, she kind of lifts her cap off and this little shape comes out of her head that lands on the little.
It looks like a dunce cap
stamp.
That she's wearing.
It does look like a dunce cap.
When she lifts it up, it does, right. But when she's moving, it just kind of flies back to the side. I enjoyed the puzzles. They're very cool.
Cool. Monument Valley is the name of the game.
Monument Valley, right.
And then, Kim, you're playing Hellraid, The Escape.
No,
that's me.
Oh, that's sorry.
That's me.
You're not playing anything then.
I do not have an iPad that will so need a new iPad.
What is Hellraid, The Escape?
So this is like the complete opposite. If they took Outlast and tried to make a puzzle game, it's almost what this would be.
Really?
Which is like
without the pornographic horror?
Yeah, without the pornography, just the creepy dungeon part. Mm. So this is, imagine a puzzler, but you're stuck in a dungeon. So it starts, the game starts out with you, you're kind of like just staring down this horrible blinded monster. He's blinded because he has things sticking in his eyes coming at you, and you're just kind of standing there like, what do I do? Like some cartoon rabbit. And then he like kind of punches you, and then you wake up in the dungeon. So then you have to explore your environment to get out. And the controls are the very simplistic joysticks on the left side of the iPad, and your other controls are on the right side. So you interact with objects, you break pots to see what's inside of them, and collect items, but mostly it's puzzles, interacting with objects, pushing them, pulling them, putting things on top of each other, flipping levers and stuff like that. But the dungeon part really reminded me of like a it's run by the Unreal Engine. So if you look at it and you think, wow, this feels like Unreal Tournament or Doom or Quake, I wouldn't be surprised that you'd think that way, because that's the kind of environment that it looks
interesting.
Like.
Yeah. So $2.99. So it's like a puzzler. Oh yeah. You need to have at least an iPad too.
Yeah, they're stressing.
And this will not run on my iPad 2.
Yeah, you better have an iPad 4 or better.
Yeah,
to run this so seriously, it's that intense. But hey, give it a go.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying it. It's very beautiful.
Well, I'm playing a free game right now. Speaking of Terpster, he invited me. Probably just to get the bonus items that you get in the game. He invited me to play a game called This Means War. And I talked about this on the Final Score the other day. And it's very much like Clash of Clans, which...
That's exactly what I thought of when I saw that. I thought, this is Clash of Clans,
but
with military.
Yeah, it's military. And then the battling system is different. Because my husband, Mark, is playing Clash of Clans. And he was saying, oh, I kind of like this battling system more than Clash of Clans, because you can go into attack mode. So once you build up your guys, so you can make, you can create tanks, you can create grunts, you can create all kinds of, and as you level up, you open up different areas of what you can actually build. And then you send them off into an attack. And you can go into the campaign mode. You can do, you can fight a friend, or you can group your friends together into an alliance and then like go off and have a war with another alliance. Mm-hmm. So there's like three different ways that you can play. And it's just one of those quick little touch, collect. You're mining for mm-hmm. resources, kind of like in StarCraft. You're mining mm-hmm. for these like red gems and supplies. And it's just it's actually really easy pickup. Like I tried Clash of Clans and it just didn't capture me. But this one instantly, I don't know, maybe it was the tutorial I thought was
Could be nicer. Yeah, because I don't like Clash of Clans. Yeah. I
played it
like,
for a while. Yeah. And then I stopped.
But yeah. I created an alliance called The Final Score. So if you guys are interested in the game, look me up. I'll add you to the alliance and we can fight a war together. Nice. So yeah, it's free. I mean, of course, there's microtransactions in the game if you want to level mm-hmm. up fast. But I'm like level 3 or 4 or something like that. And I'm just going slow. I'm just looking for a different game. I just need to get away from the tap games. I'm stuck in this forever loop, and it's
yeah, you got to get away from those.
And you know, once again, when I was traveling to Dragon Con, I fell back on this game that I continue to fall back on every time I have to play a game offline where I have no Wi-Fi access. And that's Highborn.
Oh, yeah. That's such a great game.
Yeah.
That's
and they have 3 chapters now. So if you finish the first one, please go back and get 2 and 3 because it's so fun.
Yeah.
It's all turn-based. You know, you're moving your guys across the board. And they have a lot of humor written into the interactions. And the later levels are very actually quite challenging. So I fall back on that game.
I always fall back to Puzzle Quest 2 mm-hmm. or Kingdom Rush. Those are the two games that I fall back on every time.
Because it's so hard to find a good game that you can play offline.
Yeah, I fall back on Yahtzee. I always fall back on Yahtzee because I'm usually traveling with someone, and they have it's Yahtzee Adventures.
Yes, mm-hmm.
there's a mode to where you can pass back and forth. So my mom and I, we were traveling, I fire up a game. Mateo's sleeping in my lap. I get the game going, pass it to her, and there was a mode that I've never played before, which you both players get identical roles. So, and you see who plays the roles differently.
Oh,
yeah, I thought that would
be a new one.
It was really kind of
that.
Yeah, it was really kind of cool.
That's kind of cool. Yeah,
and so I'm like hiding my, I'm like rolling because I was the first roller, so the second roller gets the exact same roles as the first person, mm-hmm. and depending on how they decide to take their points, they may win or lose. It just depends on how. I thought that was a really cool mode in that game, and I really like that. Pass back and forth mm-hmm. feature. So if you like Yahtzee, check out Yahtzee Adventures. Yeah, it's called Yahtzee Adventures. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. But yeah, it's really cool.
Nice.
All right. Let's see. Just a little bit of news. Destiny, a game I cannot wait for.
Yes.
The beta is going to be starting on July 17th. So next week. Mm-hmm. And if you pre-order the game, you get into the beta, which I highly recommend.
Do you really? I want to play it when it's like fully baked.
After playing the alpha, I thought the alpha was great.
Really?
So yep. I'm really looking forward to the beta. I want this game in my hands.
With you, Kim. Like, if I'm actually paying for the money, I don't want to spoil it. I want to see it when it's done.
No, I want to play it. I'm usually like that, but after playing the alpha, I want to play this game. They have 3 editions. They have a, you know, standard buy the game, whatever, mm-hmm. $60. They have I think it's the collector's edition, which is just some in-game stuff and things like that. Nothing. And then they have a ghost edition. And the ghost edition, the ghost is the little device that you pull out that's voiced by, what's his face from Game of Thrones? I can't remember. Anyway.
Tyrion.
Tyrion.
Peter Dinklage.
Yes. So it's voiced by him.
You know, and the ghost. His readings have gotten slammed by people.
Yeah, because it was.
His voice work is not good.
Alpha. I don't think that's not. I mean, I think I've read some things that they're addressing it. I mean, it was kind of like rushed in. So I'm not giving him any crap. He's a fine, fine actor, and I'm sure he'll rise to the challenge. we'll find out in beta. But I'm looking for that ghost edition. I can't find it anywhere. Because I want the Ghost Edition. Because I just know this is going to be a game I want to play.
So have you tried like all the Best Buys and Walmart, Target, all of those, or Amazon?
You pre-order. The only two places I found from their website that you can pre-order Ghost is GameStop and Amazon. So I'm on the let me know when it comes available list.
Right.
But I might just have to buy the game. And to get my beta pass, because I really want to play. So, yeah, I'm a little torn there because I was just going to pre-order the Ghost Edition. But, yeah. Oh, well. I'll get it. I'll be playing it soon. Looking forward to it.
Nice.
We have quite a few emails.
Yay!
Kim, would you like to read the first one?
Yep, I sure can. This one's from Vanessa. Hi, girls. I'm from Brazil, and I always listen to the show. I think you guys are amazing and inspiring. Aww. Moreover, you provide a fresh and shining sensation that there's nothing wrong about being a girl, woman, and loving to play video games. Because people with sad old brains are changing all around the world, thank God. But we still face a lot of bad comments and prejudice. Just because you are who you are, you do what you want to do. And it's even worse for those women who simply don't live their lives because they're afraid of what others will think. Aw, this is sad. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to contact you guys to say thank you. And of course, thanks for the gaming tips, the really fun moments, and the gaming news. And I love to listen to the show talking about the PS Vita and the indie games by your amazing perspectives. Thanks for everything and keep up the awesome work. Aww. Thanks, Vanessa. Yeah. That's awesome.
Oh, really yes, thank you.
It's always great to get these kind of emails, right? That, you know, it's just people who are like, I just like listening to a fresh point of view. And it's like nice. Yeah. I really enjoy
that. I want to send her a keychain.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to mention, we gave away keychains at Nerdtacular. Really awesome Lazy Elite logo keychains. And on the back, of course, it says, because you don't need a Willy to play a video game. So I know a lot of people that didn't get a chance to go to Nerdtacular. To go to Nerdtacular didn't get them. So I'm looking for a way to get them out there, basically just to pay for shipping. So if you're not following Lazy Elite Twitter, it's just twitter.com/LazyElite or, you know, the Facebook page, which is, again, facebook.com/LazyElite. I'll be putting out information there, and I'll probably even put up a blog post on the website. So if you are interested in getting one of those keychains, I'll make it really easy for you to do that as well. So, yeah, that was an awesome email. Thank you so much,
yes,
Vanessa.
Thank you.
It actually made me think of an article that I came across earlier. There's another podcast. Are you familiar with the Indoor Kids?
Yes.
Okay.
It's on the Nerdist.
Yes, over on the Nerdist. Yeah. So Emily Gordon from the Indoor Kids wrote up an article, and I just had it in front of me, and of course I just closed it. Of course I did. But I thought it was a really interesting perspective about kind of the pulse of women and gaming. And the title of the article was it, did you see this article, Kim?
Oh, no.
I found it again. It's "The Cake is a Lie. Sexism Isn't a Boss Gamer Girls Can Beat." And I thought it was just probably the closest take for me, because she talks about we're still going to play Assassin's Creed games, and mm-hmm. it's important that this is talked about, you know, misogyny and all of that. But I'll link to it in the show notes. It was just a refreshing take on the environment. Mm-hmm. And I just want to play games. And I really appreciated her perspective on it. And it's a longer read, but it's totally worth a read. And those that are in the chat room, if you are interested, I'll post it in the chat room as well. So I highly recommend it. And Vanessa, you probably would enjoy reading that as well, because it's her perspective, what it's like to be a female gamer. And everyone's perspective is different.
Of course.
So I found myself more in line with her perspective than anything. Mm. All right. So, Stephanie, you want to read the next email?
Sure. So this is from Rossi, and he says, "Hi, ladies. Just thought I'd send you all another mail to keep you updated on Rossi's play Assassin's Creed."
Oh, yeah.
After a break playing Elder Scrolls Online, on a side note, I'm currently sitting at veteran rank 2, and going higher just seems like a momentous task. I really enjoyed it as a single-player game, though. I can believe that. I'm now going back to Assassin's Creed 2, and I'm about halfway through. Problem is, I've totally forgotten all the controls.
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah, a question for you all is, have you ever come back to a game and totally forgot what you were doing, how to work the controls, what things you've collected, etc.? P.S. Yes, I'll be playing all of the Assassin's Creed games from 2 upwards. Answer, of course, yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes. I'm like, what was I doing?
I think I was playing Assassin's Creed 2 and Call of Duty at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about confusing your controls?
Oh, my God, yes.
Because in Assassin's Creed, the same button that I think you jump is throwing a grenade in Call of Duty.
So much. Oh, my God. I didn't mean to throw that grenade. I'm like,
my bad. So.
But so one of the things I used to love about the Darksiders series was when you came back to the game, they would recap the story. They would be like, when last we left,
yeah, that's right,
and they would recap everything that you've been doing.
I'm like,
that's right. I remember what I was doing, because I completely forgotten what I was actually doing. But I would love to see that feature that says, hey, you know, it's been more than 12 days since you've played this game.
Yeah.
How about a recap? How this game works?
You know what other game did that? Darksiders, I think, did it more on a, like, as you went in basis. But Alan Wake would do the, because it did it in chapters. And so it was like, it was like last time on Alan Wake. And we get to the next chapter.
Darksiders did it every time you started up your game.
Like, yeah,
and back to a save game, it was like, and this is where we last left off. I really appreciated that.
I guess
so I would love
would
if
do
more
too,
developers
right?
did
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I do. That was nice. What about you, Kim?
You know what game I always got confused with is if you're playing Borderlands and then you went either to Skyrim or to Fallout, because I would do the same, you know, throw the grenade thing. I would always be throwing grenades in Borderlands and not in the Fallout or Skyrim, because they're pretty much the same controls every single time, because I was always going in between the two of those, or the three of those games. So, yeah. Well, and then another thing that you have is on my PC, I have the Xbox controller, and then you go over to the PS3 and you have your PS3 controller.
Mm-hmm.
I had to like reset myself every single time I switch between my console and my PCs. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I remember how to do this.
You're not alone, Rossi.
No, you're not alone.
No.
That is one of our unfortunate crosses to bear.
Yes.
Playing multiple games at the same time.
Because for some reason, I can't bothered to remap the keys. But yeah, Uncharted is seriously like my Achilles heel. It's like Uncharted seems to be backwards for everybody else. And then I just never bothered to
Yeah, such a pain.
Well, and Assassin's Creed is so different. It feels like it's like on a different plane of gameplay than everything else. Everything else I feel kind of falls in the, you know, same line. But then Assassin's Creed gameplay is just different.
Right. Because they stress fluid movement rather than, you know, abrupt
Just by using your left stick, you go up, you climb. That's, you know, you don't have to hit your buttons to do all that. So, yeah. And then we have one from Tom B. Question for you guys. My son is 13, is looking for a story-driven game to play. It seems like every good story-driven game has at least Some salty language or adult situations. Games I've played like Assassin's Creed and Mass Effect come to mind that are close, but an F-bomb is dropped rarely, and sometimes something sexy happens. Sexy time. I don't have a problem. I don't have a big problem with violence, and have let him play Skyrim with my supervision, which he loved and logged over 50 hours. Any ideas for other games I can let him play that would fit? Thanks for any advice. I love the show. Do you guys have any advice for... Gosh, I feel like all of my games are horrible for
I know.
But
I was just thinking, I'm going through
I had games. To... Exactly. I had to root through my library. Okay, so I come up with a couple. So Infamous Second Son is PG-13. So there are some adult situations, but nothing horrible.
That's a cool storyline, too.
Yeah, it's very cool, and there's a great rapport between the two brothers. Like, you really feel their connection between each other. Torchlight 2. Mm-hmm. That's a good game, you know.
But that's not really a story-driven...
No, it's not story-driven, but it has a nice, long story.
Yeah, it does.
The other one I was thinking was Guild Wars 2. Because it's kind of cheap. You know, and right now it's cheap. It's obviously there's no monthly fee to play it, and it has a really, really long story. So I was thinking if he liked Skyrim, he would like Guild Wars 2. Of course, since he's done Mass Effect, Dragon Age.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was thinking Dragon Age, but then I was thinking, you know, kind of there's some sexy time in Dragon Age.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely
too.
Sexy time in there.
Yeah, so that's the only reason I didn't say Dragon Age is because there's some sexy time in Dragon Age. I mean, yeah.
You know what? The cave. There's an interesting...
The cave, right?
That's an interesting storyline, and it's not your typical Borderlands Skyrim kind of storyline. You'll probably finish it pretty quickly. But I was very interested in each one of those characters and their story and why they were in that cave. Right. And it's a puzzler, and it was a very compelling game for me from a story perspective.
So the three kind of indie games that I was thinking were Broken Age, Transistor, and Bastion.
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
So...
Bastion and Transistor.
Those are good choices.
Yeah. Those are really good story-driven games. Yeah.
So I'm thinking Outlast and South Park.
Right?
I'm not.
Dead space in there.
Yeah, exactly. No, but Fable. And Fable would be
Fable has
foreign.
Some sneaky adult things that just don't expect
Yeah,
to come
but
out.
I think it's probably, you know, kind of under the, you know, it's not as in-your-face type thing, you know. I don't know. There's Darksiders probably isn't that bad.
No.
Well, I mean, you know, it's the whole death. I mean,
but
he said he's okay with
violence. I mean,
the
violence and Borderlands. I mean, Borderlands doesn't have any sexy stuff or many cuss words in it.
Right. I was also thinking, Deus Ex. That it kind of skirts along the mature edge just from the fighting, but. I encourage you to check out the Deus Ex series.
Yeah, you
Dead
were,
Island,
you,
if for that matter, that's all violence.
Yeah, there's really no sexy time in Dead Island.
There is. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to know about it.
Dead Island was an interesting story, and then it just kind of all went to crap at the end.
You went to.
Yep. Yeah, well, I think that's a lot of games.
Yeah, a lot of games.
Tom, I hope.
And the Goat Simulator. No, that's mature, right?
Goat Simulator.
Blown up.
Goat Simulator is the best. I love that game so much, and they have local co-op now. So
I can just see a herd of goats.
That's so funny.
Somebody say Goat Simulator with me.
What, you want to play Goat Simulator? Can you play multiplayer with goats?
It's co-op.
Oh, it is co-op.
That's what I'm saying. Local. A whole herd of goats.
Just local co-op. You can't play like remote co-op. Yeah.
Did he say anything about, I can't remember. Did he say anything about Fallout?
No, I kind of skirted away from that just because.
Yeah, there are.
There can be mature things.
There's a lot of mature things in Fallout.
Yeah, there is.
Especially if he takes some of those perks that are Sexy right. time perps.
Sexy time perps. Right. Definitely supervision on that one.
Yes.
But it's cool storyline. I will of say course. That.
When he's a little older. When he's a little older.
What about BioShock?
See, no. I had to draw the line on that one because that will give him nightmares.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
you think it's okay, but you know the whole Cohen thing and the little sisters.
But I was watching
Steinman and
he's like a man
surgeon business.
I don't know. I think he would be fine. I mean, his dad would know best. But yeah. I know when I was 13, I was watching Stephen King movies and I loved it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It depends.
I would say BioShock Infinite, not the original 1 and 2.
Yeah.
BioShock Infinite is a little
tamer.
It's brighter and less disturbing.
Yeah. By the time he's 14, he can go back around and play BioShock.
Yeah, when you finish that, come back.
Totally
and
works.
Then
okay,
by the time you drive, you'll be able to play 1 and 2.
Well, thanks so much for the email, Tom and Rossi and Vanessa. What's that?
Yes, thank you.
Yes. I just realized that our contact form on lazyelite.com is broken.
Oh.
So if you have an email for us, just use lazyelite@gmail.com. I'm in the process of troubleshooting why it's not working. I will be fixing it today. So by the time you're listening to it, if you can't remember the email, you can head on over to lazyelite.com and underneath that contact form, it'll have the information there too. So yeah, if you've sent emails and we've never read them, I truly apologize.
I feel so bad. It was not intentional.
There's something going on with the website, and I wasn't getting any of those emails. So, yeah.
Just ignoring you.
I know. I didn't. I'm not ignoring you. I promise. There for a while, I'm like, wow, we're getting no emails. It's so unusual. And in fact, I got an email. The person that helped me troubleshoot it and realize it was a problem was Josh. Josh sent in a couple of games. Speaking of BioShock, so right now the Humble Bundle is 2K. And
oh, that's right.
$20 will get you all three BioShocks. It will get mm-hmm. you XCOM, Enemy Within, as well as Darkness 2, Mafia 2, and some other ones. So amazing deal. And yeah. Josh said, hey, I already have BioShock 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. You want to give them away on the show. So if you're still listening to us live and you're not listening to Current Geek, which is currently recording over on Channel 1,
dang it.
if you don't have BioShock 1 or 2, you can send me a tweet on Twitter at Nicole Spag and let me know if you want 1 or 2. Or if you're in the chat room, you can send me a private message. I'm in the chat room as Nicole Spag. So I'll be monitoring those for the next 10 minutes or so. And I'll give you a free game, BioShock.
Yay.
Or BioShock 2.
Free games are always awesome.
First come, they're first awesome. Serve. So there you go. And I think that does it for a show.
Yeah.
Yay!
Great show. Yeah. Great games. Great games this week.
So, Stephanie, do you want to tell the listeners? I've already told some of that, but
right?
you want to finish off all the rest of the information for them?
That's right. Well, once the link is fixed, obviously still head over to ladiesofleet.com and check out all the cool articles and whatnot. And there is still that little flyout on the side where you can click on it and actually leave a voicemail.
Yeah. And we still take bumpers. So if you have a podcast and you want to give us a little bumper for your show, send it in.
That's right.
I'll play it.
And you can send us an email to ladiesofleet@gmail.com. And of course, we're all on Twitter. There's the Ladies of Leet Twitter account. And each of us has our own. Nicole is Nicole Spag. Kim is Just Kim Molly, JustKimOlly. And myself, XIAXIAN1.
Awesome. And then, of course, big, big thanks to Alpha Geek Radio for letting us stream live on the channel. We do this every Friday at 4:00 Mountain Time. On channel 2, and Yeah, it's awesome. We have the chat room, the Frog Pants chat room, and I try to give
totally, totally squat on it.
Yeah, we totally squat on it. They let us do that, and we're very thankful for that. And of course, if you are interested in a Doghouse system, Doghouse has sponsored this episode. So if you use the code LADIES at checkout, you'll get double the memory. Is that still the deal?
You get we get double the memory, not the t-shirt anymore.
Oh, no more t-shirt. Okay. Never
mind. If you use the code Nerdtacular along with anything for the month of July, you get free shipping.
Ooh.
So free shipping and double memory. So
Do they have to use one or the other, right?
Nope, they can use both.
Oh, they can use both.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm freaking totally awesome. Do it.
Ladies and Nerdtacular will get you free shipping and double memory. That's awesome. And of course, you know, if you have any questions about the systems, Kim is very available on Twitter and all that, all those social media sites, so you can always talk with her about it. And head on over to doghousesystems.com. And, of course, if you want to get a Lazy Elite t-shirt, I saw a few of them at Nerdtacular.
Yes. I got a couple of pictures with girls. Awesome. And Sandy Guys with Ladies Elite t-shirts.
Steven Schleicher was wearing one on Thursday. Yes, he was.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So awesome.
You can pick up a Ladies Elite t-shirt over at Slash Loot, so at slashloot.com. And there's a ton of awesome shirts designed by our good friend John Funk. And we love them. They're great. Mm-hmm. So I think that does it for a show. I don't think we have a game picked out just yet, but I know we'll be I know I'm going to still be playing Stick of Truth, but I picked up Wolfenstein.
So awesome.
I picked that up during the Steam sale, and I've been installing it for the last 2 days.
Nice.
Can't seem to get it installed. It's a pretty big game.
Yeah, if you're wondering, Stick of Truth is a nice long game. It's not short at all.
How long to beat it website said between 11 and 15 hours. So I was
About right.
That's actually some good gameplay for that amount of money.
And you can laugh and laugh and laugh the whole time.
Exactly. All right. So Stephanie, Kim, thank you so much for hanging out. And you, the listener, thank you for joining us. We'll talk with you in a week and we'll be playing some games. So game on.
Game on.
Bye.
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 I guess you could play the farts again if you want.
We can make fart noises. You want to make? We can make fart noises.
Come on, Stephanie,
give me,
mouths.
Give me your.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's.
All right. Spoiler time.
Oh yeah, I forgot about spoiling. All right, Alpha Geek, if you have not played The Wolf Among Us, do not listen to the following, because we are going to spoil the hell out of this game, because we have to talk about it.
Oh, heck yeah.
Should we just get to the end, or should we talk about our choices? Do you want to talk about some of our choices that we made?
We can talk about the choices, but honestly, I went through and I played the first one way, and I played the second playthrough totally different. Mm-hmm. It made no difference. Same thing happened at the end.
So, exactly. But at the end, did you go after her?
Yes, I chose that.
My first one, I did. On my second one, I didn't.
Yeah, I went after her. It was, what's her name? Nessa?
Narissa.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So I almost would just want to talk about that one scene because.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's back it up, right? Yeah. So the whole point was we were going after the Crooked Man.
Yes.
We brought him in, you know, because Snow asked us to. I brought him in unharmed, whatever. I never slapped him, never hit him. But of course, then he turned around and said it was Georgie who had actually killed the two girls,
right?
Faith and Lily. And it was, but it was under the Crooked Man's orders. So Georgie dies from his injuries from a fight with Big B, and Vivian, who was the silent person we didn't know was behind it all.
Yeah, I was like,
the girls, I was kind of really disappointed in that. Like,
me too, right?
She was a madam keeping these girls enslaved.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
I mean, they literally had no choice. They had.
It made sense, didn't it?
Yeah,
it did. Totally made sense once you know you realize she was the original girl with the ribbon. You're like, okay.
Yeah, but I had honestly, I've never heard of a fairy tale or fable or story about a girl with a ribbon.
You know what?
Like, I made it seem like, oh, sure, you know, the woman with the old shoe. Like, no, I've never heard of a girl with a ribbon.
I will say this,
around
though,
her neck. Never heard of that.
It was confusing to me because I thought it was Nerissa.
Oh, right, because they do look very similar. Yes. Their hairstyles are very similar.
Yep. So, but
Vivian versus Nerissa.
Exactly.
Right?
So for a while there, I'm like, why is Nerissa helping Georgie?
Right?
I thought she was trying to help Big B, and then I realized, oh, it's a different girl.
Right.
So there is a story about a girl with a ribbon, and I remembered it from someplace. I was like, oh, yeah, that story. So there is a story like that.
So Vivian was working with Georgie to run this business so they could be independent. That's their quote-unquote line. Although how they fell under the Crooked Man's thumb, who knows?
Well, it seems like the Crooked Man was going into – I mean, like with the butcher, you know, like
right.
taking –
he was going to businesses and – yeah,
taking over kind of –
so she's the one who established the spell of the ribbons around the girl's necks.
Before
and if you
Crooked
removed
Man.
It, they would die.
Right.
So why these girls signed up for this, I have no idea, because if you're literally handing over your life to someone, I want something better than dancing in a strip club.
But she explained it because their whole motto was discretion. So before the Crooked Man even came into the picture, they set up this business and their kind of selling point was this discretion. And that,
right,
and they need and
like,
they wanted to make
like
a living.
I come to you looking for a job, and you say, hey, I'll give you a job dancing in a strip club, and here's this cool little gimmick we've got where you put this ribbon around, and then you can't tell any of our patrons' secrets, and then I ask you, hey, so what happens if I want to leave, or if I want to take the ribbon off?
Right.
Oh, sorry. You die.
But that's,
well,
I mean,
payoff? What am I getting in return for that? For my life?
They're
for my
desperate.
Life?
Yeah,
I mean,
they are desperate.
These people are desperate.
Very
that's
desperate.
What the whole thing was, is, you know, Beauty and the Beast were desperate. And that's why they did what they did.
That's what I
everybody
wanted.
Everybody was desperate. It's like a mob boss.
Yeah. I wanted more information about what he was getting from these people in return for the things that he was giving
yeah,
them.
Yeah, because you
like,
saw,
I wanted more information about that.
Because when you went into the butcher
totally
shop, you saw
yeah,
everyone.
That whole back room.
Yeah.
I wanted more information about that. I got nothing.
Yeah.
I nothing.
You wanted a little bit deeper into that story.
I definitely wanted it because they set it up. You know, like there's this whole idea that everybody was giving up something to get something.
So
I wanted more information about that.
The one thing that as we were kind of putting the Crooked Man on trial, your decisions in the previous game either made it easier for you to sway everyone or harder.
Right.
So a couple of the big pivotal decisions that you did early on was, did you kill Tweedledee or Tweedledum?
Right.
Did you burn the tree, the witch's tree? Did you did you listen to snow and actually burn it? These are things that – so I killed Tweedle. Dumb or whoever, which one.
Yep, I did too.
But I didn't burn the tree.
Right.
And so as we're going through this kind of back and forth of his trial, you're seeing up in the top corner, the group is swaying to
right.
the Crooked Man. The group is swaying to you. And it's like, So I think you either made it harder on yourself, depending on how you made those decisions.
Right.
I mean, that's what the point of all those decisions
but,
are at that point.
But... So that's the way I played it through the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It was all, you know, oh no, get on my side, get on my side. The second time I played it through that I'm like, I don't give a crap if you're on my side or not. You know, F you guys.
And it still didn't matter.
Right?
Same outcome.
Yeah.
Did not make one difference. So I was a little disappointed in that
right.
You know, it didn't really make any difference. Anything I did in this last episode didn't make a difference on the outcome, except the only thing that did, there was only one change, and the only change was the pig had to go to the farm on the second one, and he didn't on the first one, and I don't understand how that has to do with what to do with anything that I did.
Right, because you had already made that decision.
I had already made that decision in the last episode.
Right.
That one was weird. That was the only thing that changed in the end. So
my only hope is that how the crowd reacts to you during the quote-unquote trial would carry over into season two. And like, would they continue to be afraid of you, or would they see you as, you know, fair and just, and, you know, you listen to the evidence and blah, 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 blah.
You know, but by the end, after I did all the bad stuff and I was like, mm-hmm. whatever, you know, you guys suck.
Right.
They were all on my side and they were all like, yeah, go Snow, go Bigby. You know, you guys are going to rock this and you guys take over and rock. And I was a complete jerk to them. I mean, wow. Complete jerk to them.
They've got like a Stockholm syndrome. They can't react to you. Oh my God, Bigby's going to kill us if we open our mouth. Weird.
So here's the big question. What did you do with the Cricket Man? I threw him down the well.
Because I know what the well is now. Since I read the books, yeah. I know what the well is.
So in the first one that I did, I turned him into a bird. I gelled him, basically.
Put him in gel. I didn't know that was an option.
You could turn him into a bird?
It was imprison him. Imprison him, right? Yes. That was the option.
So how it was making him into like a crow.
Right.
So he was crow and he went off to the farm with everyone else.
Oh.
Second time, I killed him. I didn't even take him back alive. I killed him at the
place.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And nice. And literally, it didn't matter, you know?
Yeah, that sucks. I mean, that should have been a huge change.
I know, right? I mean, the second one, I killed everyone. I was just,
you're all going to die.
I killed everyone.
Yeah, I was just a bitch. I was like, F you. Well, I didn't kill, what's his name? The pudding pie guy.
Oh, Georgie.
Georgie. I didn't kill him out of his misery.
I let him suffer.
On the second one, I just let Georgie die because I was being a bitch. You know, I was playing. I was like, come on, this should matter. This should matter that I am such a butthead now.
It should. That's almost. I mean, I said that the last time we talked about this, that I felt like our choices really just didn't matter, which mm-hmm. kind of really disappointed me.
Yeah.
But I can tell you the thing I really enjoyed about the episode was the fight with Bloody Mary.
Yeah, that was pretty
Not
awesome.
Necessarily the fight itself, but the fact that you finally got to see Bigby in his real form.
Yes, wasn't that cool?
That was so awesome. Although he was still kind of very limited. Like, I wanted him to go mythical. But he seemed kind of like stuck, like he was on a pivot, and he just kind of turned left and he turned right and he went up and then he went down, but I kind of wanted him to go all crazy, but that was the thing that I thought was not wrapped up. The fact that they're quote-unquote saying that Bloody Mary is dead, I don't believe that for a second. The fact that you saw at least two of her things run out the door,
mm-hmm.
yeah, she's not dead.
No,
Bloody Mary's not dead.
How cool was it that Bigby got to do his huffing and puffing and blow your house down?
Loved that glass screeching noise, noise when she was moving. Oh, that was wicked.
And then she'd like,
yeah,
she that, was whatever that was. Wicked. I don't know. I was like, oh my God.
So yeah, I really enjoyed that.
All right,
that we finally got to see some.
What about the chase scene?
Action.
The chase scene.
Oh, across the buses.
Yeah.
I didn't like that because I couldn't actually enjoy the game because I had to, you know, I'm sitting there waiting to push the button.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that totally took me out of the game. Whereas the other fighting is not bad because, you know, you can still kind of go that way. But that chase scene, it totally took me out of the game because I'm concentrating so much on what button to push that I was like, okay, now I'm concentrating on my keyboard, not the game.
Not the game, right?
Yeah. That kind of sucked.
Okay, so the ending.
Yes.
Was Nerissa comes up to you and explains that the testimony that she gave, if you allowed testimony, she had come in and said, I heard the Crooked Man order the deaths of Faith and Lily.
I was there. She said I was there.
Yeah, she said I heard it. And then she actually says I can produce five other girls that heard it as well.
Yep.
And that, in my story, was the convincing thing that turned everyone against the Crooked Man because he was being a slime ball. And they said, oh, he is guilty. Aha. And he was very nervous seeing her. And then, of course, you know, you realize that it was because Vivian sacrificed herself that the other girls were now free from the curse of the ribbon across their neck. So they can tell the truth. So that's what we're figuring. Ha ha. This is the truth. No, at the end, Nerissa comes up and tells Bigby, I lied. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there, but I do know he ordered it, but I just wasn't there.
Right.
So that was lie number one. And then lie number two is she said she was the one who put Faith's head on the doorstep in the chapter one that triggered the whole investigation.
Yep.
She obviously still being under the spell, she couldn't actually say anything, but she figured this would be enough to, push him in the right direction and start, investigating.
Right.
So a lot of the, and then of course,
and you get all the, and Bigsby's standing there and he's hearing voices and they're like, and he's like, what? And then he just kind of has a epiphany. And
because of something she says.
Something she says at the very end.
Exactly what Faith said in chapter one.
Yeah, she says that he's not as bad as everyone says.
Right. So that has triggered a lot of people assuming that she is, in fact, not Nerissa. She is Faith.
Faith.
I don't buy that. People are saying that she's glamored herself to look like Nerissa, but she is in fact Faith, which would mean Nerissa is the one that's dead.
No. And that's not, because once you're dead, you go back to your form.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
I think it's the other way. So she glamored herself in the beginning and she was Faith. Faith then died.
Oh, I gotcha.
And became, she's, Nerissa is Nerissa now, and Faith is now dead. So
she would have met Bigsby before she got beat up by the Huntsman, or after she got beat up by the Huntsman? Which would have been the glamored Faith? Because Faith met him twice, right?
So when he first met Faith,
she was getting beaten up.
That was Nerissa.
Hmm.
And then,
because, again,
she was looking for something.
Again,
right?
The head was beaten up. The head that's dead was bloodied and beaten up. It wasn't just decapitated. It was beaten up, which is the same bruising that she got from the Huntsman.
Oh, I don't know now.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying is I don't know which way they're trying to throw this. Yeah. I mean, I still think
something,
that
but
she's
their voice,
not glamoured.
But their voice patterns were very similar.
And I don't think that one line is enough to think, oh my God, it's that person. No, you're not as bad as everyone thinks you are. That's pretty
But I don't think it was just
random.
That. I think it was also, they sounded very similar too. They sounded like
some people made a big deal about how Bigsby reached out to comfort her and she rejected it. But kind of the same way that Faith did. And then there was also the thing about smoking, whether she accepted a cigarette or not. But of course, I never offered a cigarette,
I
would have never gotten that option.
Did you try to take off her ribbon again? I did. I was like, take that thing off. No.
No, I didn't. I
tried.
I did the second time.
I tried.
And then she's like, no.
Because I tried to take it off in the office on episode 4, I think it was.
I
tried to take it off at the very end, too.
And we really wanted that ribbon off of her.
So, Kim, does this confuse you more? Or kind of, I was like, okay, at least I have some kind of like reason of why Bigsby would want to go after her. Because when it happened, I'm like, why does Bigsby want to go after her? Okay, let's see what happens goes after
her. Nothing happened.
Right.
But even with that explanation, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't care about that if she's Faith or not. I mean, it doesn't matter to me right now because I don't know what the implication of her being Faith is. You
she
know,
just
it didn't
orchestrate it at all. I
in
mean,
my game, it would have mattered because
master.
Her husband's still alive. In my game,
well,
Prince,
but I mean,
Florence is still alive.
So,
that means she's faked her death.
Oh yeah,
she's pretending to be somebody else, and she's leaving him thinking that she's dead.
Yeah,
well, but again, what do I care about that? I don't. Well, but I mean, in the story wise, I don't care about it. What I'm saying.
My Bigsby, the way I play this game is there are very few fables left, so I'm trying to protect them and keep them all kind of from self-destructing.
Yeah.
And this is not like, kind of like a not cool move. Like, I want to know what the heck's going on, because invariably what happens in a situation like this is you take away the person who was in power, the Crooked Man, somebody else is just going to slip right in there and become the new source. You need to address the problem that's causing what everyone did, which was to essentially sell themselves to mm-hmm. get something. So,
well, and that's what the
I need to address
stories,
what the problem yeah. is. I need to see what the problem is, and that was
holy
my
cow. How do you even watch movies?
I mean, when you create this world, this is what I'm.
You get very
what
invested.
I want to know.
Yeah,
I want to know how are you going to fix it?
Well, you got to read the story.
Oh no, the exactly. Comics. I have yeah. read this. Yeah. I have read the story.
Did that
I think
give
they
you?
Threw, they threw a lot of Deus Ex Machina out there towards the end, where they just kind of went, "Oh, and poof, that's how we fix it."
Yeah,
and I kind of went, "What? All right." Mm-hmm. I mean, it's his story; he can write it out however. But in this game, they're giving me the choices, so I'm making the
yeah.
choices,
yeah,
and
yeah.
and I want the choices to mean something.
Yeah. Well,
which is what I said in the other episode,
I still love the game, no matter
right.
See, and again, I think this goes back to, I love the game just for the game, and you know, I kind of wish it would have been a little more epic, and my choices would have mm-hmm. mattered more in this last episode. Mm-hmm. But I still loved it, and I have really that's the only problem I have with it. Stephanie, wow, you've got like this.
lots of
problems with it.
You give me time to think about it, and I'll think about it. I mean, because then I started. Okay, so when they hypothesized that this really was Faith and not Nerissa, then I had to go back and look at the original chapters, and then I thought,
in the
original chapter one, Lily was supposed to be the one that met with the Huntsman, but it was Faith that went, and Faith is the one that got beaten up, and then I thought. Well, okay, so if it was Nerissa pretending to be Faith, why would she do that?
Yeah.
Why would she glamour herself to look like Faith and go to an appointment where she wasn't meant to and then get beaten up?
I almost want to play the game again because I want to see I think I need to play it again because I want to see, because if that's the case, you never met Faith.
Right, exactly.
At all.
And then I was wondering, why are Tweedledum and Tweedledee in her apartment? If she's already dead at this point, why are Tweedledum and presumably by the Crooked Man's order, why are they in her apartment? What are they looking for? They presumably think she's dead.
This is how they get you to play
problem
it again.
Problem solved. So I thought, what are they looking for? What could they possibly want in her apartment? You know, her husband's dead and they think she's dead. And still they are rooting around in her stuff. And I thought, I don't understand why Tweedledum and Tweedledee there if Georgie killed Faith like the Crooked Man wanted. So I don't understand why these people are acting the way that they're acting. It seems kind of weird to me.
After this conversation, I'm definitely playing it again because
I want to play as jerk mode Big B and see how bad it gets.
Honestly, I mean, it's been a really long time since I've played episode one. I mean, this game was up there in my, was it my game of the year? It was pretty close, if not my game
I
of the year.
I think so, yeah.
Because I loved it so much that early. But that was last year.
Right.
So I feel like I need to play it again. I could probably finish it in 5 hours or something like that. I mean, an hour an episode.
Oh, definitely. You don't have to go and click everything like you did before. That's,
yeah, that's
why
true.
My second run through of this
right,
one only lasted
right,
an hour. Because
my only problem is I would have to, because apparently I've missed something in every chapter. Like I've missed something in the little storybook thing.
Yeah.
I've missed something in every chapter.
Me
so.
Too. That's so interesting.
How did I miss that?
I thought I covered it all.
Well, but I wonder if this one I didn't, and number five, I got them all, but, and I got them all in the first playthrough. So it's kind of weird that, one, two, three, and four, I don't have them all.
Did you notice they didn't give any stats? In the last chapter, they didn't say so and so percentage of people picked blah blah blah.
Yeah,
I was waiting for it. It never popped up.
No, it did.
Mine never did.
Oh,
never
you know what? I went into the options, and you can look at your stats.
I looked at like the overall stats where they just kind of said, and you know, the prince, you went and saved him, and oh, Tweedledee, you let him live, like that kind of thing. But I didn't see in chapter five this percentage of people threw him down the well. This percentage of people ripped his head off. I didn't.
I saw that.
I didn't see that. Yeah.
Yeah, I got it in both playthroughs.
Yeah.
Weird. I wonder why mine didn't.
Weird.
I hope that doesn't mean my gameplay is going to get corrupted again.
Oh, that would be terrible. Well, but you can play it quickly. Right. So that's the good thing, is you could just play it again quickly.
Right.
And you know your choices.
Well, ladies, I think that's the spoiling time for The Wolf Among Us.
Yes.
If you're still listening, we hope you enjoyed the game. I enjoyed it, but it's fun to kind of talk about it in this very real fashion sometimes.
Absolutely.
It shows a game connects with you, I think, when you get into those.
Yes,
areas.
Exactly. Incredible game. Incredible game.
I loved it. All right. So have a wonderful rest of your week. Steph, Kim, thanks for hanging out.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, guys.
For real this time.
It's for real.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Who's making fart noises?
Kim?
I'm all farted out.
Oh! Eat some cheesy poops.